Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for all things Kings of War. Join your hosts Rob Fanoff and Mark Zielinski as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. This is Tony Nelson.
And I'm Rob Fanoff. And as you just heard, our very good friend, the ex-Memphian, the now North Carolina native, has graced us with his presence to get for us to learn all about what's going on in North Carolina, including his upcoming tournament, the Kingslayer. But before we get there, let's get an update. Tony, what's been going on in North Carolina? I see the Facebook is blowing up. You guys got a lot of activity. People are moving into the area. What's going on? I mean, I thought I saw somebody posted, hey, is there any Kings of War players? And they literally were in your same town.
Actually, he was right down the street. So when I'm trying to get together with him, hopefully in the next couple of weeks or so.
That is insane. Insane.
Yeah, it's been people are coming out of the woodwork. There's been a few people out in the Raleigh area that are starting to take it up. And these guys are people who never played the other game, you know, guys that were, they may have played, you know, Warhammer years ago, but they're just finding out about Kings of War now. So it's great. And seems like every day I get a new request from someone in the Carolinas saying, hey, where is everybody? So we're still very pocketed and isolated, but I'm trying to bring everyone together. So that's the goal.
I'm just waiting for that day that you call me and you have somehow managed to get the Brohammer himself, Eric Lindley, to play some Kings of War. When that day happens, I will praise your name and send you accolades up high.
Yeah, we need to get Eric back playing. I mean, he was such a great force in this hobby. He's actually the one who started, he was one of the main contributors to starting grand tournaments in the Carolinas.
Yeah, I went to Brawler Bash like number 3, maybe? That might have been the first time I met you and him, I think, and Robert
actually,
Brandon.
I actually think we played.
Yeah, maybe. You probably smashed me because I wasn't very good.
me neither. I bring all the crazy lists that I never listen to whatever the net list is, so I tend to do my own thing. So
what's the latest and greatest in North Carolina or the Mid-Atlantic?
Well, we do have a grand tournament coming up here at the end of this month on October 28th and 29th. That is the Kingslayer GT, which is I'm actually the TO for that. So I'm very excited about that. I've been planning it for a long, long time. It's going to be held in at Atomic Empire, which is a great store in this region over in Durham, North Carolina. So very excited about that. So.
How's signups been going for the event?
Signups, we have 13 right now. It's not as much as we wanted. There's been a few weddings. There's been guys with business trips. That's the problem with October. But I'm unfortunately stuck dealing with dates with the store because they have Magic release days that are very big weekends. I mean, whoever's ever been to Atomic Empire in Durham, I mean, it's an old Bed Bath and Beyond. It's a very large room, and they can pack that with Magic players, so that's their bread and butter. So we have to always work around their schedule. So that's which is why I don't always have a date right away. I have to wait a few months out before they can actually give me a date. So and then we're also stuck with their hours of the store, which is why my tournament's only going to be 5 games, which I think is going to be fine with five.
Five games
I was
is fine.
Really trying to. I was thinking 6, but actually I think 5 is actually more enjoyable.
We just had this discussion on one of the, maybe the Florida page, I don't remember, one of the Southeast pages, about 5 versus 6. And I think the general consensus down from the group down there was, you know what, 5 is enough. It gives you time to hang out, you know, you get done earlier, you get to go have dinner and just hang out with people. The one time I would say 6 probably makes more sense is when you get to the size of a lone wolf, you need that extra game for separation. And even probably not enough, but you know, if you're just playing a 20, 30 man event, 5 is plenty.
I completely agree. I used to, for a long time, I was all about 6, but on 5 is, I just tend to enjoy it a lot more. And I think you're right. With the smaller groups, you don't need it. I'm going to try to make sure we have go out Saturday night, everyone together, and hopefully have the same vibe. I have a big GT to live up to. That was the Mountaineer that was run by Chris Fisher up there in West Virginia was an excellent event, and he did an excellent job with everything. And I really liked the vibe of the room. The vibe of the room was just pleasant. Everyone was happy. And then we all went out to dinner and just, I hadn't walked away from a GT in a long time where I just felt this sense of just fun. And it was great. It was really a fantastic experience. So
it's funny you say that, because I actually find most of the Kings of War events are remarkable in that way, that you just, I don't know. It's just, I mean, I used to go to a lot of Warhammer tournaments, and very rarely did I walk away with that kind of vibe. I mean, WAPACA would be one that definitely has that vibe.
Well, you walked away with those awesome trophies from WAPACA.
So well, that helps. That helps. But in all seriousness, I think, like, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is those Warhammer days, like, those type of events were the exceptions, not the rule. And with Kings of War, it seems to be the other way around, where it's almost like the exceptions are when you don't walk away with that feeling of community and camaraderie with your fellow gamer and just inspired to just learn to play the game better and create a new masterpiece and just have awesome time. I don't know. It's a fantastic time to be a war gamer playing Kings of War.
I agree. I love the Kings of War GTs 1,000 times better than the Warhammer. Like when Brawler Bash here for Warhammer was going on in North Carolina, when it was first started, the first 5-6 years, it was great. And then all of a sudden it exploded, and then it started bringing in all those ultra competitive people, which is fine. I don't mind that, but sometimes that gets a little too much. And sometimes I like, whereas King, and it's all about, it's when I say competitive, I'm not talking about competitive like so much on the battlefield, but making your list and all that. And it just got crazy, where I feel like in Kings of the War, it's all about what I bring to the table. And I mean, yeah, there's, you know, we can work with our list and make them better, but still, I think you preach it all the time. It's all what you can do on the tabletop, and it's I love it. And And by the way, I know, congratulations on the 200 episodes. I was episode -1 of Countercharge. I was actually on the very last episode of Ohio Hammer, was it? And so when you stuck a microphone in my face after I played my first game of Kings of War, and you got me hooked. So I appreciate you for that.
Was that Mantic Radio, maybe?
Maybe it was Mantic Radio. Yeah. I don't remember. It was the one right before you guys switched to Countercharge.
Yeah, that was awesome, though. I remember you came over to the house, we played a game, and you smashed my face in.
Oh, yeah, you let the Wookiee win.
Though. Yeah, yeah. And it's been like that ever since.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the Kling Slayer. Like, what are some of the details there? How many points are you guys playing?
We're doing 2,000 points, 5 games, as we mentioned.
Hey, you didn't hear that 2250 is like all the rage?
Well, I actually thought about that, and I was like, oh. And the thing is, I like bigger tournaments. I love 25 points. I love to do a 3,000-point tournament, but that's me. But then again, I'm also the guy with 5 armies that are 5,000 points each. So and we have one thing great about this Kingslayer is I was able to get a lot of local guys that are new, and they were just building up armies. And they've been playing for 2,000. So that's the reason why I kept it.
2,000 is good. 2,000
is good. It is good. I think my initial reaction was like, oh, how did the Masters? Who did that? But I'm not going to, you know, go crazy. But I mean, it is what it is, and I'll move on. I mean, it's okay with me. I just want to play. And I'm just hoping I can make the Masters this year. I mean, I'm on, like, the cusp. And hopefully I'm starting a new job, hopefully, in the spring. So it's up in the air.
Are you going back to work?
So. Yeah, I've been a stay-at-home dad now for almost 4 years. And The good life is almost done. So not the
so
wife
what's
is,
are you guys going to flip roles, or what are you?
No,
do?
No, she's still staying. She's my wife is really smart, very successful. So she's just to help. You know, hopefully we can retire sooner that way. You know, put the kids through college and all that sort of fun stuff. So.
So 2,000 points, 5 games. What other details?
I'm going with the scenario. All the scenarios are out of the book, but two of the games would be based on the normal attrition points. And then the other 3 scenarios are a plus or minus based on, you know, if you kill the fastest unit or your biggest unit and all that. So, but it's always going to come out to around 20-0, you know, that 20-0 system. I like keeping it like that. I mean, sometimes it might be. It's not a pure 20-0. There might be like a 19-1 or something. Or no, I'm sorry, like a 19-2 or something. But it's close enough. So
for the scenarios that you're playing right out of the book, are you going to randomize them? Or are people going to know going in what scenarios you're playing?
No, I don't like telling people the scenarios beforehand. Because I think that makes it leave the door open for you must come with the most well-rounded army. If I say these are the scenarios we're going, you know, we're doing, you know, if I say we're doing loot, blah, blah, blah. Then you start playing, okay, I know this scenario is coming up. This is my tactic. But if you're playing this game and you know these are all the basic scenarios. It's the same things. I mean, people who know me know I love Invade. So there you go. There's my one hint. I think Invade's my favorite one.
I have never run a tournament where I did that until we did the Masters last year. And that just looked like fun when we were just like, I don't know what scenario we're going to do. Roll a die. Boom. All right. We're playing Dominate. You know what I mean? It's just like, you're at the table. You already know who you're going to play, but you're waiting on us telling you which scenario. There was something there. I like that.
Yeah. And actually sometimes I'm like, I know I usually, we hated kill, you know, I tend to hate that scenario, but I was listening to another podcast, one of the Norwegian guys over there, the giant dwarf guys. They were like, oh, we played kill and we haven't played kill in so long. And I was like, you know, that's sort of true. Sometimes that's sometimes a fun scenario when you haven't played it in so long, but you understand, like, for so long, that was the default. And a lot of these guys, and I can't stand that scenario as an isolated event, but once in a while, it's not too bad. But it's not going to be in my tournament, guys. So
don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up.
Yeah.
So any special comp restrictions or anything we should know about?
No, I am allowing all the stuff from the Edge of the Abyss, all those
formations, legendary characters,
the formations, mm-hmm. and all that. Yeah, bring it all. Have fun. I'm still at the end of the day, make it cool. Bring something that you want to play with. Have fun, and just don't worry. And you know, I don't like comp restrictions and all that. I don't think it's needed. I think, and the Clash of Kings book is, I do go Clash of Kings 2017. That is required. I think the rules committee guys did a great job on that one.
How about the historical book? You letting those in?
Oh yes, I do let the historicals. As people know, I am a historical. I like my historicals. I'm actually building a mythical Macedonian.
Yeah, you couldn't possibly ban them, being that you've been rocking the Macedonians for so long.
Yeah. I haven't won a single game yet with them. My Alexander the defeated, I call him, because, Alexander the Great never lost, but my guy can't seem to win. So, but I also allow mythical units too. So, which is anyone who follows me on Twitter at Power Posey, you'll probably see I post everything I paint. So I keep a little track of everything I've been painting.
Well, what else about your tournament that we need to let people, you have a Countercharger award, right?
Dude, that was, you're one of my sponsors here.
Yeah.
And you are giving me, you guys sent me a very nice little prize for the Countercharger, and I'm a big fan of the Countercharger. I was going to do it anyway, even if you guys didn't sponsor me or not, because I think it's a fantastic award. I love the idea. I have a trophy made for it. I also have trophies made for best costume, because it's going to be that weekend before Halloween. So if you want to come dressed, you get extra sportsmanship points for the tournament. If you dress up, as a theme with your army, you get even more sportsmanship points. So I have a little trophy for the person who dresses up. So, and there's, like I said, there's only like 13 people showing up. So, you know, we have a great chance. And I have still, trophies for best general and runner ups for, you know, best paint, best sport, and an overall. So I like to give out trophies. I'm a big trophy guy because I don't have so many sponsors as much. I have Atomic Empire, which is a fantastic store, and anything that's not spent on trophies is all spent back on gift cards and everything. So, and I also have a Mirsay Miniatures too, which I'm a big fan of them. Those guys make some fantastic models. And because of a GT at Mountaineer, I would never have bought one until I got a little 10-pound gift card from them. And I think I went and bought like $150 worth of stuff from them.
They're great models. Great models.
Oh,
Ryan Smith is a nut. I mean, his whole army is that stuff. I don't know that I make enough money to afford that, though.
Well, I've been not buying as much armies. So, like, see, all my armies I have are stuff that I have a box of stuff from years, and I'm trying to go through it. So if anyone's looking for undead stuff, I tend to give most of my stuff away that I can't paint. So I just give it away to people, all these new guys. That's why I said, hopefully this new guy's listening. Hey, down the street, I know he's starting a magic dwarf army. Him and his wife are playing. So that's great.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I also wanted to get you on because you had probably one of the greatest ideas for the Masters tournament scene that we've had in a while. You want to kind of lay out the idea and how it's, I guess, where this idea came from and how it's actually materialized into something real.
Okay. Well, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I feel like one thing about being a stay-at-home dad, I tend to paint during the day. So I have a lot of, that's why I listen to you guys when I'm doing housework and everything else. And I came up with this idea a couple months ago. And I thought, hey, why don't we try to partner with other regions? Here in the Mid-Atlantic, we only have, at the time, we only had three GTs. And I'm like, you know, it's if someone misses them, like for instance, Chris Fisher, he's been out of the country and he ran a tournament. Like, if there's some way that he can have be able to play, you know, especially and problem with these areas that are border states, for instance, the Mountaineers up in the northeastern part of West Virginia, right there by the PA border. And then the Northeast region has a tournament right there at Keystone. This is what my initial thought was, like, well, how can we combine these groups together? How can we get them to, you know, maybe come to our tournaments and we can go to their tournaments? So I came with – so I contacted RTOs, Jesse and Chris and Jake Hutton, who is, by the way, our fantastic Mid-Atlantic rep, with this idea that I floated, just say, hey, you know, what do you guys think of this? Like, if maybe we give them a tournament, say, hey, you know, if the Northeast or Southeast want one of our tournaments, maybe we can, they can let us use one of their tournaments as like a partnership. So that way it's not, you know, one side getting everything, but it's a partnership. So I also talked with Robert Brandon in the Southeast, and then I sort of forgot about it for until I listened to your guys' Countercharge podcast saying, hey, you know, we need to get these regions talking. We need to get these regions playing and mixing in and not just being like, we're the Southeast guys or we're the Mid-Atlantic guys. We're the Midwest. Some of the players do travel. Like for instance, like a Shannon Shoemaker, he's all over the place, which is great. But, you know, we need to get some more communities interacting in a fun way. And then we're looking at the southern part of our region. We have Siege of Augusta, which is technically in Augusta, Georgia, is right on the border between Georgia and South Carolina. Literally right there. So I talked to Keith Randall and said, hey, what if we bring, can we use Siege of Augusta as a Mid-Atlantic event? You know, and then maybe you guys can use one of our events and maybe like we're talking right now, we're trying to get maybe the one up in West Virginia in the central West Virginia area. I mean, we're not expecting, you know, Southeast guys from Memphis to always travel all the way out to Augusta. That's the farthest part of your region. That's 11 hours. Is it 9 hours? I mean, it's a hike.
Yeah. It's probably 11 hours. It's probably not far off.
Yeah. And we have the same issue with the northern part and with some of the northern guys, they can't come down all the time. So maybe I think that's the gist of it all. So, more opportunities, you know, not limiting people, better mixing of the metas too, and just better relationships and just overall friendlier competition. And maybe it might steal some players. I don't think it will as much. I think it actually will help the scene better. I'm just looking right now on these Facebook pages with Siege of Augusta. I mean, there's some Mid-Atlantic guys that would never have thought about it. And now we have, you know, three or four guys coming down now. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, from what you just said, there's a couple things there. I mean, the one thing is obviously regions already have the ability to put in one out of region event.
Mm-hmm.
However, like take a guy that lives in South Carolina. Maybe he wants to go to Lone Wolf or something, and maybe he wants that to be his out of region event.
Yeah.
But Siege of Augusta is in his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But it's across a fictional line, right? In this scenario, it's like it makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't you just make that count for Mid-Atlantic? I think the other thing that it does is it really allows those regions that are maybe don't have 15, you know, 11 events, you get to leverage some of that stuff. And to be fair, you know, we've got, I think, 11 events in 2018. What, we can afford to share one, right? We got some to spare.
Yeah. And I wish for instance, it's not so much of an equal trade with the Mid-Atlantic, but that's okay. I mean, I just think, you know, you guys still can, the Southeast can decide how they want to do their own, you know, master selection. I just thought, hey, it might just be good. It also helps. You have guys up there in the Kentucky area.
Right.
It might
yeah.
be easier for them to go than go all the way down to Alabama.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I would love to see this go with all the border regions. Like I talked with Jesse about maybe, hey, because he has a lot of Midwest guys coming, you know, hey, maybe we can, the Ohio guys, it's easier for Ohio to go to West Virginia than it is to Chicago, probably.
If you look at Bug Eater, it's in Omaha, which is literally on the border with Iowa, which is like Midwest. So literally you have an event that is right on the border between two regions. I mean, that's a recipe for an opportunity.
And also you're not going to be stealing region spots. Like for instance, Siege of Augusta, like the guys who might come to a Mid-Atlantic event, they're not going to be competing in the Mid-Atlantic. The Southeast guys going to a Mid-Atlantic event are not competing for the Mid-Atlantic by
and vice
going to
versa.
That one tournament.
Yeah. I mean, almost, I think all the regions have, most of them at least, have residency requirements.
Mm-hmm. which is good. I do agree with that. Yeah. I mean, there's always guys that travel and there's always the exception, but you know, they're very few. And but yeah, I think we're doing a real, I love the Masters program. I'm not the best player, but I'm more of a garage gamer type guy, but I only go to tournaments, but this is for all those other garage gamers out there. I go to tournaments so I can play because I don't have that many people near me.
Right. And you keep playing the same folks, and it's nice to just mix it up once in a while.
Yeah. That's how I started going to tournaments. And I build my fluffy list and I work with that. I don't worry about, like, if people look at my ogre list, and I'm doing pretty well. I mean, I'm 9-3 in GT play, and I would say 7 of those wins were against Masters opponents. I'm talking top 10 Masters, you know, the Robert Brandons, the Mike Austins, the Alex.
Well,
Chavez.
Mike Austin's a good victory, but let's be honest, Robert Brandon, his day's passed.
Yeah, he's not using his dragons. Robert needs to go bring the dragons out. He's at the end of the day, he's a dragon, you know.
Yeah, I think he just needs to move to the Mid-Atlantic, and then maybe he's got a shot.
Yeah, maybe we start calling him Khaleesi or something for a while. That might just start getting him to start going back to his dragons. So, anyone who doesn't know Robert Brandon, loves his dragons. He models, he refused back in Warhammer to have eagles. All of his eagles are dragon models, and he actually used a fire mage. And when he started coming to Kings of War, he brings out those dragons, and they're beautifully modeled, and it's just and he's a great guy, so it's always fun. So, and he's a TO of Siege of Augusta, so you should go down to it. So, plus Drew Gaddy too is also, he also helps. I'm not sure, is he a co-TO or is he just the organizer for Siege of Augusta? You probably know that better than I do.
Drew Gaddy's a super nice guy. Love that guy. And Robert Brandon's the TO for Siege of Augusta. And it's good. You know, we had 38 players last year, which was our second largest event. It'll probably still be our second. I mean, I think TNT, I'm not going to deny, I think TNT's on the verge of just blowing out to 60, 70 players.
TNT's NASHCON at the heart, so I would love to come out there again. I just don't think I'll be able to make it this year. So,
but something about that wrestling ring, right? It's just like,
I was so jealous. I wanted to go. I have a whole Mr. T motif I would have dressed up as. You know,
we would have paid good money to see that.
Oh, I had a whole, I was list. I would have wore the gold chain. I had a whole plan. I would have made Seth Cook look bad.
Whoa, that's saying something. Because he you know, Hulk Hogan had nothing on him.
Oh, that's just a great, I love tournaments with that fun factor. You have to have that something that brings you back all the time. And that's, I hope I do that with Kingslayer. I hope the people who come, like last year we had a hurricane that took place during Kingslayer. So that sort of knocked my numbers down. But hopefully this year, you know, there's still plenty of spots. I can have up to 120 people if I needed to. So actually more, I could fit 150 if I really wanted to. Now, I don't have the terrain myself. All the terrain I use is all my personal terrain because I'm like you, Rob. We just sort of hoard terrain. And when I want to get a break from painting models, I paint terrain and just, I have 8 mats. So speaking of sponsor, I've got one of my main sponsors, Killing Fields, with the teddy bear mats. And He's been a big supporter from day one of Kingslayer, and I actually enjoy the mats a lot. And I've been trying to think about shaving them down and making some of the roads through them and everything. So I like to have theme tables. I still use sort of like those epic dwarf, the giant dwarf maps. Epic Dwarf, I guess. Epic Dwarf's the website and Giant Dwarf's the podcast. But anyway, those Norwegian guys, those crazy Norwegians who are fantastic. I really, those maps are great guidelines, but I tend to take those maps and then I sort of make them fit my table. I use a lot of Cigar Box Studio mats and Mats by Mars. And so I like the tables to sort of fit the theme of them all. So, and a fat mats too. So.
What else is on your docket, Tony? Anything else exciting coming your way?
Not much. Let's see. Siege of Augusta in January. Then we have, of course, the Mountaineer. And then we also have a new GT in the Mid-Atlantic in April, the Vanguard, which is up there in Richmond. That's a Mike Atkins. I don't think you've ever met Mike Atkins.
I have not.
But he's a fantastic guy. He has a really beautiful Abyssal Army painted. I mean, let's just say he's up there with the top painters. It's absolutely beautiful. So really, really nice. So
awesome.
Good to see him running one up there. And there's a lot of guys from the Richmond area. It seems like there's a bunch of people up in that Richmond area. So we're also up in the Mid-Atlantic area. We have up there by Baltimore. Up there is up there by Jake and Alex and all them around the DC Baltimore area. So, and then out there in West Virginia, in the central West Virginia, we have Jesse and the northern, your northeastern part, we have up there Chris Fisher out of Martinsburg and all that. So we're around. We just need to get everyone united and go down and attack Siege of Augusta with some northern aggression here and make those Confederates run. Not so sure.
Well, awesome, man. I'm glad you're able to, you know, get you on and catch up a little bit. And like I said, if you want to go to Kingslayer, what's the dates?
October 28th, 29th. And you can find us on Facebook. Just look up Kingslayer, Cal, GT, and you'll find us there. Or you can always just look for me. I'm in pretty much every page that there is for Kings of War. So just look for Tony Nelson, and I'm there. So
what's the cost?
$35 now. So
I will say this. We have a countercharger award, and the prize, you can't get it anywhere else. So whoever wins that award, I think you'll be duly impressed by what you receive.
And also, I also am getting another prize from Joey Greeks donating a nice boxed army for to give away.
Fantastic.
To the lower placed players. Let's just put it that way.
That's fantastic.
I like to make sure I'm a big believer with Rob thinks that like the guy who comes in last, I want him to come back. I want those guys who also came the last five, the guys who came bottom five, to all want to come back.
The guys
at
the top are playing for trophies, right?
Yeah, who cares? Like, they don't need any money. They don't need price for it. I'd actually never even heard of like money given
away.
That's crazy. Until I moved to North Carolina. I was just happy with a trophy. Give me a trophy. I'm happy. I don't care how cheap the trophy is. Just give me a trophy. I have a whole bunch. I have a whole room full of second place trophies here. So I never seem to get the number one trophy. So.
Always the bridesmaid, right?
Yes. Yes, I know. One of these days I might win a GT. Maybe if I actually, you know, I need to practice more. My problem is I get too excited and just, you know, start pushing models across the board. I don't start thinking.
Well, Tony, thanks for coming on and chatting with us tonight and getting us caught up on Kingslayer.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Rob, for having me. And as usual, it's been a pleasure. So, thanks for listening. Until next time, keep countercharging.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by posting on our episode thread on the discussion forum found on manticgames.com. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.